Welcome to Creative Disturbance. This is the channel Balance Unbalanced. My name is Tommy Ayala, and I'm here alongside with my co-host Tarek El Hout with Ricardo Del Fara in Montreal, Concordia University. Today we'll be discussing what exactly is Balance Unbalanced here with our director, Ricardo Del Fara.
The idea of Balance Unbalanced started like an international conference designed to use art as a catalyst to explore intersections between nature and science and technology and society, basically focusing on trying to find solutions to the environmental crisis we are living now. So this started as an international conference, but has other projects also linked to this. But what's happening in the conference is that basically artists, mainly artists working with electronic art, are meeting with scientists, economists, philosophers, politicians, policy experts, sociologists, engineers, all kind of people, so we can work in a much more multi and transdisciplinary way in trying to find these solutions to the difficult situation we are living now.
So can you talk about us about like what you think or how artists can be involved in this type of project and how they can help to succeed in your goals?
Well, I think it's interesting because depending who you ask, artists can be really powerful and art can be really powerful, or exactly the contrary. In principle, I think it's very interesting to see that Balance Unbalanced is a place that is bringing all these kind of people together, coming from many, many, many different areas of activities and knowledge. And the point is, who are the ones who are calling all these people to meet? Well, are basically artists. And artists are the ones who are being able to put all these different people together, maybe people coming from the Red Cross Climate Center, a space scientist, and well, all the people I was mentioning before with different background, expertise, etc., and interest. But we are able to put all these people together and to discuss these possibilities of potential solutions to work on the environmental crisis.
What main issues are being tackled?
I mean, Balance and Balance has been happening in many different places around the world. So sometimes there are artists or scientists or engineers or politicians coming, addressing a problem that is like a very wide, or you can say covering the whole world. But other, for example, artists are focusing in a local problem. And then sometimes you find that an artist is focusing on working together with an architect and with an engineer, producing a certain piece of art. And this piece of art is also a piece who is producing energy or cleaning water, or it could be anything, basically, that is trying to reach the main goal, finding solutions for the environmental crisis. So it could be small scale, mid scale, large scale.
So the artist is raising awareness, and at the same time, his piece of art is also functional.
Yes, I mean, it's a very long discussion that even to the philosophy.
Exactly, I have a problem seeing how a piece of art is actually doing something concrete and direct towards helping. And by all means, like you see, like engineers or scientists who have concrete devices that can help. But, you know, it's kind of abstract to see a piece of art or something do the same. You know, and back to the thing you said about artists having power, I believe artists have the power to influence the public, right? To help more people outside of what the scientists actually do. I think artists have the power of reaching out to many people and to a great number of different types of population and spreading this message, which maybe scientists don't have.
Yes, and I think I'm asking very often to scientists and also technology experts and different kind of people, and most of them, and that's the way Balance Unbalanced started, they think that artists are the ones who are going to really help to make changes, because yes, we can have some we can spread some kind of messages. The people, many people is listening to what artists are saying. And when you have a report, you know, from the experts on climate change, for example, I mean, maybe it's a 400 pages report, but who reads those reports? Are the politicians and the people, the policy makers, really going to read those reports, or those reports are mainly being read by different scientists and eventually the policymakers, the people who are taking decisions, are going to read executive summary of that. So probably, and there are a lot of people convinced on that, is that artists are being able to in some way to translate what this 400 pages report is saying into something else, something that can impact strong enough to produce the changes we need, or that most of the people think we need.
So artists are able to pressure a movement or an idea so strongly that it can pressure the government.
Yes, I think that's the idea behind. Let's talk about society.
Okay.
So I think that artists can contribute. I mean, you don't want to send a message if you don't believe in that message. But if you think that everyone is going to benefit from doing something, I think that the artist can, yes, spread the message. But also, if you start to look around on the kind of works the people coming to Balance and Balance has been presenting in Balance and Balance and in other conferences, but maybe inspired by Balance and Balance, there are so many works where you find this complex issue about the art, the art, yes, still being an art piece, but also maybe producing a concrete result. Why not? I mean, I know, I have a lot of colleagues and friends who we can have, as we said before, a long discussion on this, but maybe it is possible, and maybe I will have an example.
That would be great, but I can see maybe how artists can collaborate with architects or engineers to maybe build some sort of green roof, for example, something that could help actually in this environmental crisis. I think we need to have like concrete examples of art, monument pieces that are directly helping the cause.
Sure, but I think change occurs among the individuals. And we hear a lot of scientists tackling the issue and, as you said, releasing a lot of reports. But not all people respond to logical explanations. It might take an artist to move the people's emotions, and then they would make a change.
I think it's interesting because you said emotion, and yes, that's very important. And you know, one of the, we could say, spin-off of Balance and Balance was when in the second edition, 2011, that was down here at Concordia University, one of the associate directors of the Red Cross Climate Center came, and he's a scientist, Pablo Suarez, and we had a conversation, and he was interested in working together, artists and scientists and the Red Cross Climate Center, because this was going to empower the message to create a sense of unity in certain kind of things. And they use, for example, music as a tool, if you want, to have like to approach people and to approach the people, how they approach the people, sometimes with serious games. So music could be an element that is helping in this structure. Could be serious games that they use a lot, but could be videos, could be games of different kinds. So what happened was, when we were meeting, was that they thought about, okay, in their next presentation in the climate change summit, so how they can bring more attention to what they were doing. And they thought, okay, why don't we use the first few minutes in the UN parallel sessions, made with an artist. So the consequence of that conversation was to start a project that is related to art and climate, that is basically a sound miniatures contest. So we started a sound miniature contest like 6 years ago, more or less, or seven almost, So when we do the contest, we ask the Red Cross Climate Center to give us the topics. For example, sea level rise, or the difference between climate and weather, or mosquitoes, because it's related to dengue, Zika, chikungunya, etc., etc. So the people who is going to produce these sound art miniatures are producing based on what the Red Cross Climate Center is asking. So we publish information about, for example, different kind of mosquitoes or the difference between weather and climate. So there are like two things at the same time. In one way, the people who is going to produce the sound miniatures are going to read white papers or seeing links or videos, so they will understand much better what's going on in the world, because maybe they are not affected so much now. And people from the whole world has been participating. And then, once you have those products, we go through two different kind of juries. And that is going to answer some of the previous points. The first jury who is going to select the pieces is going to select based on pertinence and the quality of works. So it's an artistic jury. So the artistic jury could be curators, composers, sound artists, etc., etc. So the quality is guaranteed by that jury. Once we have the results of that jury, those pieces, not necessarily one, could be all the pieces that are fitting the point. So whatever you have, could be 10 pieces, is going to the jury of the Red Cross Climate Center. So the first step will be artistic quality. Second step will be, if you want, utility. The Red Cross Climate Center is going to use this for such and such things. So in that case, you have both worlds. You have the art quality, it's an art piece that can be shown wherever you want, and you can keep, if there were 10 pieces selected by the first jury, you can present those 10 pieces in a concert, in an installation, etc. But then the Red Cross Climate Center is going to make still another selection based on their criteria for what is useful for their goals. So I think it's a really win-win situation, but it's good because you have the best of both worlds. And we are learning a lot doing these kind of things, because it's still good pieces of art, and at the same time, something that the Red Cross Climate Center could use in different situations. The material of this contest are being uploaded into SoundCloud, and they use, everyone is submitting something, is under a Creative Commons license, so anyone can use these works, as much as you are saying who was the composer. And then the Red Cross can use this in different situations. Could be in workshops when they present serious games, as I was saying before, because they do that a lot to explain how things work in this complex world of climate change and different kind of environmental crisis. And they use these serious games.
Can you elaborate on this point? What are serious games?
Serious games? Okay. For example, suppose that you have a game where it's a participatory game where maybe you have, you know, in the audience could be 5 people or could be a big theater. I saw that like with 1,000 people, and you ask different groups to take different roles. So you need to understand, for example, they have a game, humans versus mosquitoes. So you go through a process with a number of rules, and depending if you follow those rules, you will understand who will win, if the mosquitoes or the humans. Yes? And then according to mosquitoes for humans are proposing, are bringing a lot of different problematic issues. So depending of what you do as a human in this fight with the mosquitoes, well, you will win, or if you lose, you will have very serious problems, because the mosquito with dengue, chikungunya, or Zika are going to affect you seriously and can kill you, of course. So you have like participatory games. So it's not just a game where the end is fun. Yes, the idea here is to have fun while you play, but to understand how you need to play the game to reach the goal, that is, well, the human to survive and to succeed. The same way, for example, Suppose that you have certain resources of the Red Cross Climate Center. How you are going to use the resources? If you use the resources maybe too early, you spend all the resources you have and you don't have if something different happens after. If you wait and wait and wait, maybe it's too late to use. So when is the right moment to use the resources, limited resources we all have, including a Red Cross Climate Center? So for example, they play a game with different number of people, and in this process what you learn is what would be the best moment for defining and deciding to use the resources. So you can understand a little bit better the environmental situations, but also what are the limitations different organizations have around the world to face those challenges.
It's an opportunity to have a big audience to engage in this problem.
I can tell you, when we did one of these serious games, when I saw them for the first time to do one of these serious games, was like with about, I don't know, about 15 people. But then I saw some people from the Red Cross Climate Center doing this in a full theater. And probably there was about easily 1,500 or 2,000 people in the audience. And they were managing with all that people in the audience to do this game.
But how do they play it? Is it like an electronic appliance?
No. It's just talking. No. It's just, there are many different games, but could be just games because you need to play a role. I mean, so if you're a mosquito, you have certain rules and you can do certain things, and you are a human, you have some options to fight the mosquito, but you cannot do all the things you want. So it's like a typical games, but where the elements involved in this game are like affecting, if it would be linked to real world, it will be affecting the results of what you can do to fight the mosquitoes. But there are many different games, but usually it's not even involving electronics. Could be even done with beans, could be done with, I remember one game, they were using like a ball, and depending who has the ball, you know, is winning or losing. But the main point is focusing on understanding what the problem is and what can we do as individual, as an organization, etc. So whatever the game is, the important thing is the goal. Yeah. Like in Balance and Balance, I mean, we really don't care if you are a space scientist, you are studying physics or mathematics or biology, or you are a computer expert or an engineer or a lawyer. The point is that we all share basically the same problem, the environmental crisis. So that's the main goal of Balance and Balance. I mean, how we all together facing these kind of things.
Yeah, and also what matters is how we can contribute to this problem.
Yes, because I think that also depending of your background is the way you see things. It's like when we talk about transdisciplinary approaches. I mean, we all look to the world with our own glasses. So how can we share a common intellectual framework to face a certain problem? Because we see that every day. I mean, if you are, look in politics, I mean, different people with different views about how to approach something. But when you have really serious, complex, real issues like poverty, governance, security, climate change, well, maybe just one way of seeing the problem is not enough. The problem is complex enough, and we are sharing many of these issues around the whole world. So how we can solve this? Are the economists, are the politicians, are the lawyers, are the artists?
It will be super interesting to have on the next Balance and Balance episode to have a different perspective and different opinions and objectives towards environmental crisis. And I think I share your opinion towards that. It's a danger that we all face. The reality is human is maybe heading towards self-destruction if we don't manage to do something about it as a group. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to have many specialists. We need to get serious about it. I think people are more and more aware of this crisis, and it's by doing these little things like this podcast that will be able to spread the awareness and spread more ideas toward this problem that concerns everyone.
Yes, awareness is crucial, but more and more and more awareness is around, and most of the people is talking, or many people is talking about climate change. So, but we have a risk and we have an opportunity. The risk is that, you know, it's like we talk so much about climate change that becomes a word that nobody pay attention, because you are expecting that someone else is going to fix it. The government or someone should fix it, the technology experts and the engineers, whatever. But also, I think that, yes, awareness is crucial. If not, you cannot go for the next step. But for me, doing Balance and Balance and doing all the other actions and projects and working related to this is like awareness, fine, but this must lead to action. I mean, yes, awareness brings reflection, and the idea is, yes, reflection can take your whole life, but you need to start right away to do something before it's too late.
Yeah. So for the conference, where is it taking place and when?
Well, we are going to have, now we are in September of 2018. So in a couple of weeks, we are going to have the 7th edition, will be in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. We have already conferences in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We have another one here at Concordia in Montreal, Canada. We have at NUSA in Australia, and Arizona in the US, Manizales, Colombia, and Plymouth in the UK. So the next one, as I said, is in the Netherlands, and there is a theme or a topic on each conference, and this year's theme is new value systems. And new value systems could mean several things also, because new value systems could be related to the ethics, but also could be related to the economic system we are living. So I think will be an interesting discussion, and this is going to be happening in a couple of weeks. Something interesting is that there is information about Balance and Balance. You can find, if you just put balance-and-balance on the web, you're going to find different websites from 2013, 15, 16, 17, etc., etc. And you're going to find a lot of information about the conference. But also in the Leonardo Journal, published by MIT Press, you're going to find during these past few years short articles that are a selection of papers that were presented at the different editions of Balance and Balance. So in this year, in 2018, about 50 pages related to Balance and Balance has been published by Leonardo Journal in 2 issues of it.
Which artists are you most excited to see in this conference?
Well, I can mention some of the artists that were before, artists, scientists, etc. Let me give you a couple of examples, but there has been many, 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 so it's not good maybe to mention a couple. But I mean, of course, for example, Roger Malina, scientist and executive director of Leonardo, has been there many times. But for example, David Rothenberg, he's a musician and philosopher, has been Balance and Balance, and was really, really interesting because he's crossing boundaries. Sometimes he's performing, for example, with whales, with birds. So I think and his approach to why he's doing these kind of things is very interesting. But if you take someone coming from Paraguay, for example, Luis Aran, he's a conductor, and he's conducting the symphonic orchestra of Asunción in Paraguay, but he has been helping to create a huge number of orchestras around Paraguay called H2O. The people is working with recycled instrument and focusing on sustainability. So he's really creating a sustainability system or approach in Paraguay that is producing social changes. Even they are also training people, the families, for example, of the young musicians, So they are training the families to help them to understand how to manage this orchestra. But when you train them to do this, you are helping them to be self-organized, and this is helping to do a lot of other things. So depending on who you are talking and what kind of people you are talking, maybe this is a big, big help that is going to make strong changes. So I think there are many different people. The people from Land Art Generator Initiative, for example, where you have a collective that is an artist and an architect organizing a contest around the world. They were participating in Balance and Balance a couple of years ago, and they are doing a contest where the people are sending projects to cross between art, design, utility, and amazing projects. So can you imagine in change of having all this project like individual effort, if you can connect them from time to time as much as possible, so these people start to share ideas and project and to start growing from there. So from Balance and Balance, I was mentioning the Art Climate Project with the Red Cross Climate Center, and I have been trying to develop together with other people, several other people, a project called ECO. And the idea is to create an online database with a communication system where we can put together a lot of information about different players who are working towards solving the environmental crisis. So in this platform, the idea is to make easier to find about activities and projects and things that can help to empower any individual actions you are doing. Because individual actions can be lost in some way, but if you can connect that, maybe this will help to empower and to create a huge or a larger event, and just not treat each individual event as such. You can make a network of events, and that will produce probably changes around the world. That's the idea. Ambitious, but maybe. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right now in the field of arts, who would you say is the most influential regarding this topic? Who's reaching the most people and who's contributing the most?
Well, I think that it won't be fair to name one person or one activity or organization. I have been naming people and organizations, and I think that if we want to make changes, there is no way where just one person or one organization is going to fix the problem. This is part of the basic idea of Balance and Balance. Balance and Balance is helping us to meet, to share, to grow, understanding different point of view. Even people coming from different companies has been coming to Balance and Balance. So it's not one specific way. Part of it is this idea of having the opportunity to meet, to share, and to see if we can have this kind of transdisciplinary approach that can help us to view solutions in a different way. Individuals, we need individuals, we need effort from individuals, but at some point we really need to work together, because if not, changes are not going to happen.
If people, our listeners, want to hear more about Balance and Balance, you named the website early before. Do you have any more information you want to give out to the listeners?
I think that the most important, if you simply look for balance-unbalance on the web, you're going to find the different websites. There is no yet a unified website for all the conferences, but you're going to find the different conferences. And there are a lot of publications and information on each website. So I think that's the best way to go.
So we thank our listeners. This concludes our first episode of Balance and Balance, here with our guest Ricardo D'Alfara, the director of Balance and Balance. If you wish to know more about Balance and Balance, you can look it up on Google, and you will find plenty of information about the program.